for our readings. Gabriel.
Just as well you don't have to put your leg on up here as well. It's not much fun getting older, is it? I try to make it fun, though. Oh, I'm being irreverent, sorry. I'm here to read. You were wondering. Okay. The first reading is from Colossians 2, verses 6 to 15. Spiritual fullness in Christ. In my own note, walking tall in the victory of the cross. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hāhei. And the gospel reading is from Luke verses 1 to 13. Jesus teaches on prayer and the brilliance we can absolutely expect from the Father who loves us when we ask. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the gospel of Christ. Te ronga pai tēnei a te karaiti.
Thanks, Gabriel. Welcome, Miriam.
Oh, tēnā koutou katoa, kia ora e hui hui mai nei. E mihi ana ki Ngāti Toa, Te Atiawa, Ngāti Raukawa, he tangata tiriti ahau, no Ingarani, no Wiwi, no Airanga, o Pitipuna, ko Aronse, Rawa, ko SS Pākehā, ko Iona, toku waka. E tipu aki au e Waikanae, e Papiauia, e Waipokarau, nā mihi Ngāti Kuhununu. No Raumati Sātā hau I noho ana, ko Stephen Bucknell toku pāpā, ko Ruth Manley toku māma, ko Tama Maiden taku tāne, ko Grace Rawa, ko Elijah, ko Lydia, ko Malachi, ko Evie Joy, oku tamariki, ko Miriam Bucknell toku ingoa. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Good morning. I thought it was important to introduce myself this morning. It's been a little while since I've been here up the front, and there might be some new faces about, and they might be thinking, who is this strange lady? I might be strange, but my name's Miriam. As I said, I live in Raumati South with my husband and my two youngest kids, Malachi and Evie Joy. This is a photo of our family and some extras that have joined the family since then. That was at our nephew's wedding in the summer. We lived in central Hawke's Bay for 20 years, and for the last 4.5 years we've been living here on the Kapiti Coast. So we love it down here. As I said in my introduction, there's three places that are special to me. One is Waikanae. I lived there for 7 years. Went to primary school, went to Kapakapanui Primary School. Then we moved to Palmerston North, where I did my intermediate high school and university. And then we moved to Central Hawke's Bay and lived in a few different places, but mainly Waipokoro over there. So, so they are three places that are important to me. So Tama and I both work for an organisation called Praxis. So I train youth workers. So lots of you will probably know Kendall, who's Hazel's daughter. She's one of my students. And Tama also works for Praxis. He works for Praxis Education Kenipuru. So that's an alternative education school for kids who have been excluded from mainstream education in Porirua, so he works there. So, yeah, it's so nice to be here sharing with you this morning. And as we heard in our readings, I'm going to be talking a little bit about prayer. So in our reading this morning in Luke, we see one of Jesus' disciples was asking him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he starts off with kind of the shortened version of the Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. And there's two places in the Bible where we see the Lord's Prayer, and this is the shorter one, the kind of longer full-length version is in Matthew 6. And when this prayer is explained in Matthew and Luke, it's being addressed to two different groups of people. So in Luke, Jesus is speaking to the Gentile Christians. So fathers in that community, those sort of Greco-Roman times, had this kind of complete control over their children and their grandchildren, and they decided whether their newborn child would be raised in the family or whether they'd be sold. And I think here in Luke, the Gentiles are kind of being reintroduced to God as a father. But instead of the kind of father that they were used to, sort of one who like exerted power and controlled the family through fear, It's this God who's generous and loving and attentive to his children's needs. And I think that Luke is changing the audience's perspective on fatherhood and kind of presenting God as this father who cares for his children and acts sort of redemptively on their behalf. And we see further down in that reading of Luke, and Jesus gave this example of this loving father, and he says, if one of your children's hungry and asks you for a fish or an egg, you wouldn't give them a snake or a scorpion instead. And I just think that this message here is that God is this loving God, and Jesus is kind of presenting and teaching a new message. And it's not about fear when we come to God in prayer. It's not about rules, and it's not about laws. It's all about relationship. And it's all about this relationship that we have with this ever-loving God, this ever-loving Father. And he wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants a personal kind of father-child relationship. And he wants to know us, and he wants us to speak to him in prayer about anything and everything, which is why at the beginning it says, Father. And God the Father in the New Testament, it's like this personal kind of intimate relationship. It's sacred. And it isn't based on fear or rules or laws, kind of like we've been used to in the Old Testament and like they would have been used to in the Old Testament. But it's based on love, and that's sort of how I think he wants us to come to him in prayer. In about 2009 or 10, we were at New Wine at our rancho. Was anyone else there in 2009 or 10, maybe? Could have been. Oh, that's so good. So we were at New Wine at our rancho, and our middle daughter, Lydia, was about 6 or 7 years old. And in our church, we went as a big church group, and we had these lovely identical twin youth group leaders who were about 16 or 17 called Beth and Emily. And they had this really, really lovely relationship with our kids, and Beth and Lydia had these cute little matching friendship necklaces that they had. I think Beth had bought one for Lydia, and they were these little yellow giraffes, and they were like this size here. This was one from the same time, so just these tiny little giraffes. This one's an elephant, and they were on lanyards, and Lydia, it was really important to Lydia. She loved it because she loved Beth and Emily so much, and they were like these older teenagers, and she thought they were cool. And when we were at New Wine, she lost it, and she was so devastated. She was so upset. And Emily was with her, and they looked everywhere, and it was like, where do you look? You know, you're at our auntie's big place, and she was a very busy 7-year-old little girl, so she'd kind of been everywhere. And so they had looked for quite a long time, and they were getting to the stage where they needed to go to their program. And so Emily said to Lydia, I'm going to pray for you, or I'm going to pray that God helps us find your little giraffe necklace. And so they prayed, and they looked again, but they didn't find it. And then Emily dropped Lydia off at her program. And by this stage, Emily was running a little bit late for Firewire, so she ran in. And up on the stage, there was a speaker from England called Andy Croft. And he was preparing to talk, and he was getting himself sorted. And he said, oh, I'm just a little bit distracted because on my way over here, I found this little giraffe. And he was like, look at this, it's so cute. And then that was back when they had, maybe they still do, I don't know, but cameras. And so then, you know, you had a big screen. And Emily was distracted because she'd come in late and she was busy, and she hadn't even heard him say that. And she looked at the screen, and they'd zoomed up, and he'd put the little giraffe just on the corner of the lectern there. And he was like, isn't this cute, he said. And he goes, oh, I'm going to have this here while I speak, and it can listen to me. And Emily was just like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. And afterwards, she went up to him, and she told him the story about how she'd been with her little friend who was 7 years old, and she had lost her necklace, and that was her necklace. And that was Lydia's first example of an answer to prayer at just 7 years old. And that's the kind of God that we have. And that's the kind of God that's being talked about here in Luke, that Jesus was wanting to, I guess, explain to the people that he was communicating with, and that Luke was wanting to explain with the people he was communicating with. A God who cares about all of these little things that are going on in our life. He cares about the prayers of a 7-year-old girl, and he wants us to come to him with the big kind of like house selling or needing a new job or healing from illness, trying to forgive someone who's really hurt you prayers. But he also wants us to come to him about the lost keys or the sore toe or I've lost my elephant friendship necklace prayers. So in Luke, we're kind of taught how to pray and that we can come to God as a father who wants to give us all the good things that he has in store for us, and he wants to be in relationship with us. You know, he doesn't want to give us a scorpion or a snake. And I think he wants to be in relationship with us, and it's this. And one of the beautiful ways that can happen is through prayer. It's a conversation that we have. And then we get to our reading in Colossians, and this kind of reminds us of the sort of why and how that relationship's even possible in the first place. And Paul writes, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith." It's this encouragement to keep going in the faith that we've already received, to stay grounded and rooted and kind of like held in this beauty. And Paul goes a little bit deeper and he reminds us of what Jesus has done for us, that in him the fullness of God dwells, and that in him we are made whole. He talks about how we've been buried with Christ in baptism and raised with him in faith. And then there's this like beautiful, powerful bit, and he says, "God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross." It's that like redemptive arc. I think it's that difference between these kind of rules and regulations and laws of the Old Testament and then this like grace and freedom that Jesus brings us in the New Testament. And that's at the heart of it. I think sometimes, I can't speak on behalf of you all, but I can kind of get swept away by the latest book or worship song or podcast. And don't get me wrong, you know, these are really good things. And they are helpful and they can encourage us in our faith and our journey with Jesus. But ultimately, what's important is our relationship with Jesus. Last week, I had the privilege of taking my students on a week-long haerenga in a 49-seater bus. I'll tell you the story, which hasn't got anything really to do with what I'm talking about, but it is quite a funny story. So the first night that we went, so the haerenga is you go, and every night you stay somewhere different, and so we talk about like travelling lightly and following the stars and kind of going on this journey of discovery. And it's quite exhausting, I'll be honest. My job is running it, not necessarily doing like the speaking, but making sure it all happens. And so I have like very detailed timelines and plans and like the distance it takes between getting from here, from this place to the next place, and sort of adding on like quarter of an hour for a bus, because a bus is obviously a little bit slower than a car and all of those kinds of things. And so our first night we spent at Kereru Marae in Levin, which is this beautiful marae there. It was really, really nice and just wonderful. And we got up the next morning and it had been very wet. Like you know how like the week before last it was like really, really rainy and really wet. So the ground was very, very sodden. And so it was a bit tricky with the bus, and the bus driver as a good bus driver, but he did say, oh, I wonder which way I should go. And some people on the bus said, I think you should go this way. But he thought, I'll go this way. And he went across the lawn and got stuck in this 49-seater bus. And we were like, oh. And I was thinking, we've got to get to our next destination for our porphyry. And you have to get to a porphyry before the sun comes down. And I was like, oh, this is awkward. This is only our first day. We had some people get out of the bus. And they're like, this is a big bus. Like, 49-seater bus is like from here sort of down to the end there, you know. Like, not the end end, but there. It was really long. And they found a spade and they had put these planks under the back wheels of the bus. And they were like, just reverse onto the planks. And I was like, okay. And after about 45 minutes, I was like, oh. And so I said, I'm just going to ring the AA just to ring them. So I rang the AA and I said, oh, hi, I am an AA member. I just renewed my membership. I said, we need to move, we need to be towed. And they were like, yep, we can do that. Where are you? And I told them, and I said, I'm just saying, you know, I'm in a 49-seater bus. And they were like, oh, no, we don't really do that. And I was like, what a waste of a membership. No. And they said, here, we'll give you the number of a local haulage person. So I was like, okay. So then I rang the haulage person, and I was like, explain my situation. He's like, yep. And then I said, is a 49-seater bus? And he was like, oh, no. We don't really deal with buses that, like, vehicles that big. And I was like, oh, this is awkward. And he said, I'll give you the number of another person. And I was like, okay. So then I rang the third person, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'll see what I can do. I'm just working with the police at the moment. And I was thinking, well, that's really unhelpful for me, you know. I was like, oh. And then he rang me back, and he said, oh, my friend is coming down the road with a tractor. And I was like, yes. And so he came, and they towed us out with the tractor, and I gave him some money. And we were all very excited. We clapped and cheered, and we got on our way. That was just a fun story. Each night we stayed at a different, like I said, a different place on this haerenga. We stayed at Kereru Marae, at Ratanapa, Hiru Harama in Jerusalem. We went up to Te Whare Hononga in New Plymouth. We had our last night at Ngāti Awa. And we went through this journey of following the stars. And what we say to our students is finding your way back home in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And we looked at the land wars and the way that Te Tiriti o Waitangi has and hasn't been honoured. We spent a lot of time talking about Parihaka and the Ratara movement and the Whitirea block in Porirua. And if you ask any of our Year 2 students, they would tell you it's a pretty life-changing experience. And at the end of the week, we finish up at the Home of Compassion in Island Bay, hearing the story of the nun Suzanne Aubert. And I encourage you, if you don't know anything about her, to look it up. She's an amazing, amazing woman. And then we do what's called a porapora aki. And that's this beautiful way to finish something like we'd experienced. And we all sit in a circle, and each person gets the opportunity to share about what the week has meant to them. And one of my favourite moments was getting to hear the way our students' lives had been changed. And one student shared this beautiful revelation. They said throughout the week that she'd felt this deep sense of connection to the whenua, to the stories, being in those sort of sacred spaces. And she had this realization, and she said the words, I don't have to try to be someone else. I just need to be the best me I can be. I am who I am for a reason, and God has created me that way. And I think that that's the message in Colossians. Because of Jesus, that kind of weight of guilt, the fear of not being enough, this idea that we've got to perform or prove ourselves to God's being taken away. We're not praying to earn favour. We're not approaching a distant judge or a scary father. We're walking with someone who's already done everything needed to make us whole and who invites us to keep growing in him. And I think for me, when I looked at this, that was the link between Luke and Colossians. Luke shows us that we can come to God as children, knowing that we're loved, And Colossians shows us the sort of foundation of that relationship. That in Jesus we're forgiven and we're alive and we're free. And so whether it's a big life-changing decision that you have in your heart at the moment, or whether it's a lost necklace, you know, we can pray kind of boldly and honestly and intimately because Jesus has already made the way for us. In a minute, Ian's going to play a video for us to listen to. But as that's playing, I just want to encourage you to spend some time in prayer. Whether that's a big prayer, maybe someone in this room is trying to make a life-changing decision. Or maybe you've misplaced your keys and you really want to find them. That's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He listens to all of our prayers, whether they're big prayers or whether they're small prayers. And he wants us to come with those prayers. Might be prayers of thankfulness. There might be prayers of lament. Ultimately, he wants us to spend time with him and build our relationship with him. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Miriam. Please stand.
Come, thou fount of every blessing. So ko Helen Stephen Smith, tōko ingoa. I just bring you who I am. We are going to do one or two things a little differently this morning.